Blog Talk Radio.
Happy spring. You're listening to EcoTwist, a conversation about culture, business, politics, sustainability, and social good. I'm Duida Suharyano, your host. First, I want to thank my guest, Shane O'Connor. You know how they say how everything is connected? I connected with you, Shane, on Twitter, and then you agreed to come and talk to me here. And you helped me to start up the show again after a three-year break. Shane O'Connor is the sustainability leader with FedEx. He's also a trustee for Visible Music College, president of Creative Inspiration, and runs a personal blog called A Slap in the Face. Welcome, Shane.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Tell us about you and what you do at FedEx.
Sure, happy to. I've been with FedEx for 25 years. It's been an awesome, awesome career. And currently I run our road safety and sustainable transportation programs in about 10, 12 countries.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. What are the countries that you run the program for?
On the sustainable transportation side, we work in China and Brazil, Mexico, and then in the road safety area, I hope I can get all these in. It's Canada, the U.S., Brazil, South Africa, China, India, South Korea, Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam. I think that's it.
Wow.
It's a bunch.
Wow, so you've been all over the place then.
All over the place. Just got back from Morocco last week.
Wow, that's awesome. Awesome. Yes. Now, what is sustainable transportation? Explain to, like, a lot of people don't understand. What is sustainable transportation?
Sure.
For FedEx.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we want transportation that has a minimal impact on the environment. So we want to be aware of our carbon production, and we also want to be safe, right? If it's not sustainable if everybody's dying on the road. So we work with Embark, which is an international NGO. And we work with them on their rapid transit bus lines. It's where you have a dedicated line for buses that allows them to zip through traffic in cities of 17 million plus people like Mexico City. And what we do is we work with the transportation experts in the city and Embark using our routing expertise at FedEx to help them decide which are the best routes to put in these rapid transit bus lines and make the system more sustainable.
So in essence, it's like a private-public partnership?
Absolutely.
If I hear that correctly. Is that right?
Yes. It's really, we work with the NGO, and then they use their influence to impact the local governments, and it's a great collaboration.
Great. That's great. Now, how did you end up doing that?
Oh, it's been a wonderful circuitous career, Duida. I began at FedEx actually in the training department, and then moved over to this department about 17 years ago. And I use the expression, I'm like a pig in slop. So I'm very happy with what I do. But I've always had a passion for people and community, and so this opportunity came up open at FedEx, and I just jumped in with both feet, and it's been a joy.
Oh, so how did you sustainably come about at FedEx? Sustainable transportation come about at FedEx? Is that something that you learn on the job, or they provide you with the training?
There's two points of view. One is just from an operations perspective, by being more sustainable, by using less fuel, for instance, we're going to save money as a company, so it's actually good business for us. So we're in that business. We want to create alternative sources of energy so that we can have hybrid and electric vehicles. We use solar panels on our sort facilities to lower costs and expenses, but it's also great for the environment. And then on the philanthropy side, or on the social impact side, working with, say, Embark in the sustainable transportation space, we've cut commute times for citizens in Mexico City by as much as 2 hours. So it works both for us operationally and then also to really do good in the community. So we've learned it both ways. Yeah, both on the operation side, but also wanting to do good in the community.
Now, is Indonesia on the radar screen anytime soon? Because that's
where
I'm
from. We're in 220 countries, and every country is on the radar screen, Dawida. It's just a matter of time.
That's great. That's great. Now, you know, sustainability is a big word. If you Google the word, like, what is sustainability, you'll get 121 million.
Yes.
Million, that is, of
yes.
results. Yeah, articles explaining the meaning of sustainability.
Yes.
To you, sustainability is...
Oh, that's
what?
A great question. You know, when you break the word down very simply, sustain, you know, keep going, and ability. So it's the ability to keep going. If you're using, say, carbon-rich fuel sources, there's going to be that's not an exhaustible supply, right? So you're not going to be able to keep going. You won't have sustainability. So you've got to look for alternative fuel sources. So that's why we look to solar, for instance, and alternative fuels. So it's about being able to keep going, right? So it's also not sustainable if you're killing, you know, 1.3 million people die on the world's roads every year, 500 children every day. That is not sustainable. You don't want to sustain that, right? So you turn that on its head and you make it sustainable by getting cars off the road, for instance, through the rapid transit bus lines to make roads safer, safer for adults, safer for children. So it's all about being able to keep things going, and certain things the way they are, that we just can't keep going the way that they are.
Mm-hmm. So, in one word, sustainability is, you know, like it's a short, and for
oh my
layman
gosh.
To understand.
Because,
you know, my experience is I tried to explain somebody. This is way in like a few years ago. The guy who fixed my car, and
yeah.
he asked me because I was a realtor. Well, for one point in my life, and I got out of that, and I changed field. Basically, I'm learning about sustainability. So I explained to this guy, very simple man, you know, like, what is sustainable? And I have to, like, what is it? you know, what is it? How do I explain this to him? But then I explained, you know what? He's got all, you know, you change oil, and you dump it somewhere, and if you dump it to the environment, it's not good. You know, just very simple explanation.
Right.
So what you do is you recycle that oil, and then you resell that. And I think, you know, like that helps explain because there's no one uniformity, you know, like...
Right. Well, it depends what sector you're working in, right? So in the food sector, it's going to mean different things. It's going to be sourcing food locally, things
that's
like
right.
that. And then with the transportation sector, sustainability, that gets into things like road safety. So we have 90,000 trucks on the road, so to be a sustainable company, we're going to have to take an interest in road safety, which we do.
Now, what kind of fuel do you use right now for to save the car, you know, to save... the environment. Do you
You know, we use regular gas, we use diesel, we use jet fuel, so it's all over the place. But we are funding a study right now with the Nature Conservancy to look at alternative fuel sources, for instance, algae and other things too. So we want to be helping think tanks be on the leading edge of coming up with new ideas and new fuel sources.
Good. That's good. That's good. One day I'll sell my coffee bean fuel.
There you go.
you know, I've been hauling coffee and doing experiments. That's what I'm doing right now. Experiments.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So numerous articles have been written out there about the challenges of getting initiatives, something like what you're doing, to get off the ground.
Yeah.
So how do you get others to buy into your idea?
Sure. There's a corporation out there called Cone Communications, and they do some great research in the area of corporate social responsibility. And they'll go out and interview thousands and thousands of people to get consumer opinions on different things. And one of the things that they asked people had to do with their view of companies that practice social responsibility. And what they found is that 91% of consumers will actually switch brands from one brand to another if they view the other brand as more socially responsible. So if you think about that, it really pays companies to pay attention to being being responsible, to being to have corporate social responsibility initiatives, because the general public really values that, and they will actually make buying decisions based on whether or not you're a responsible company. So by putting that information out for sure with internal stakeholders at FedEx, they really see the importance of being responsible and taking on initiatives like the ones we've been talking about with fuel savings and road safety and things like that, because it creates a great reputation in the community, and then people want to use our products and buy our services.
Okay. Are you working on new initiatives on your...
All the time, DeWita, yes.
All the time.
Usually it's...
Okay.
We've got some great international collaborations going with huge NGOs in disaster relief and road safety and the environment. And so since we've got these long-standing relationships, for instance, one with Safe Kids Worldwide, we've worked with them for 15 years, and now we're in 11 countries. We've engaged 16,000 of our team members to be volunteers with this organization and have reached more than 10 million children around the world with road safety messages. So when you ask, are we doing new initiatives? Well, yes. Well, we just launched this year a work in South Africa, which is so exciting to me because it's such a critical area for road safety improvements. And so we're always looking to our NGO collaborators to see, you know, what are the areas of greatest need and how can we align our resources at FedEx to come alongside them to increase their capacity in doing the good work that they do. So we're always working on new initiatives, but we pretty much have these great long-standing relationships with NGOs that we've had for years, and we try to work with them to see how we can expand and grow our programming with them. So we're not necessarily looking for a whole bunch of new partners and new initiatives in that sense, but we are working with our current partners to do new things all the time.
What are your top top five initiatives that you pay attention to right now, that you're working on right now?
Top five. Let's see. Well, we just expanded our work with Embark into China, and China is a very important market for FedEx. Of course, it's a booming market, and they have a great need for the building of transportation infrastructure in their cities.
Uh-huh.
So, a real top priority for us is to get in there and to help the Chinese people and the cities over there develop the kind of transportation infrastructure that they need to really boom as a society in a safe and sustainable way. So that's a huge initiative for us, and we're very excited to work with Embark on that program. And then I just mentioned South Africa, where we work with ChildSafe, which is an organization that's affiliated with Safe Kids Worldwide in South Africa, to help make the walking environment around schools in that country safer for kids. There's another organization called IRAP, which is the International Road Assessment Program. And what they do is they go and they rate highways on a star rating system, 1 to 5 stars. They've done it for years. They work with large countries from Russia to Kyrgyzstan to India, et cetera. And they will go in and they can rate a highway. Do you know those Google Maps cars that, you know, they go on the roads take all the pictures? Well, they have vehicles that, but they film maybe 100 miles of highway, and then they can, based on certain criteria, is there lighting, is there signage, are there rumble strips, are the off-ramps banked, et cetera, things that make the road safer. They can rate the road then on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, and they know that if it's a 2-star road, if you give them the number of people that travel down the road that in a given day, they can tell you how many will die on that road. It's amazing,
really?
the data analysis that they're able to do. And so we're advocating that countries install at least 3-star roads, you know, when they build new highways across their countries. And so we've worked with IRAP to actually take that 5-star, the star rating system for roads, and make it into a star rating system for schools, so that they can take that technology technology and that knowledge, and then we can work with them, with Safe Kids and other organizations, to make sure schools are safe. Are there sidewalks? Are there crosswalks? Is there signage? Are there lights? Things like that. So that's a huge initiative. Another one is with the University of North Carolina. They have a walk-friendly communities program, and they'll go in and assess a whole community to see whether or not it's a walk-friendly community. You know, are there parks for walking? Is there signage? Are there countdown timers to let people know how much time they have to get across the street? Things like that. And they will actually rate or rank a community according to their criteria, and they're ranked, you know, if whether or not they are a walk-friendly community. So we work with them in many, many cities across the U.S., Safe Kids, you know, they're always coming up with new things and new ideas, and we're the big thing coming up in May is UN Global Road Safety Week. It's May 4th through 10th. And we're really trying to bring attention. Yes, you know, the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, are going to be launched later this year, which are going to take us from 2015 to 2030, because the Millennium Development Goals expire this year, right?
And right, so we're that's trying. Right.
Well, yeah. So, mm-hmm. so what we're trying to do is get road safety onto the mm-hmm. agenda for the Sustainable Development Goals, because it's such an important issue, and we want to be sure that it gets the attention it really needs. So those are some of the top things that we're going
after
right now.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You should come to Washington, because on a snow day, people just can't drive, you know.
It's like, mm-hmm.
you should come here and help us, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
Any lesson learned that you want to share, you know, from your job or any?
Yeah. I think when you're working internationally, it's really mm-hmm. important to be flexible with your program mm-hmm. applications. We do a lot of child pedestrian road safety initiatives around the world, but in some communities, the issue might be helmets. You know, where we might need to come alongside and help provide helmets for people riding bicycles and on two-wheelers, motorized vehicles. We had a poster drawing contest 1 year in India, where children made drawings and to help promote road safety. And one of the kids drew a 10-headed Indian god, and said, and underneath it said, "He has 10 heads. You have one. Wear your helmet." You know,
wow, that's great.
So that program looks very different than something that you might have in Des Moines, Iowa, but that's okay. You just need to be flexible in how you apply your programs in different countries. And then I think something we overlook sometimes is currency exchange rates. If you're a company and you're investing in CSR in say Brazil, and you've done a program for years, you need to be aware that, you know, sometimes currency fluctuates, currency rate exchange, and maybe that NGO is working with a lot less buying power because the dollar may have, you know, decreased in its buying power. So you just need to be aware of currency exchanges. And then the third thing I would say in terms of lessons learned is that I think it's great to take advantage of coalitions. So a coalition, for instance, Interaction, it's a NGO that has about 180 international NGOs under its umbrella. And so they provide conferences and trainings and such for best practices and networking with about 180 international NGOs. So, but when FedEx works with Interaction, we actually get access to help, you know, a large swath of NGOs, about 180 international NGOs. So I think working with alliances and coalitions is very helpful.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's always challenging when it comes to collaboration, because you have multiple stakeholders that you're dealing with. That's great. So if you have to do it all over again, how would you do it differently?
I think I got some great advice when I first came into this department, when my boss said very simply, "Be your own CEO." I love that. And then he stepped back and just, you know, gave us the resources to get the job done. And so we've been very fortunate to be able to run our projects as our own CEOs, basically. And so because of that, it's been a total blast. It's been great. And honestly, and when I look back, I don't know that I would do anything different. It's been a learning experience, but by just being very close to the NGOs I work with and manage through FedEx, it's just been a great, very positive learning experience. So I don't think I'd change a thing. I just want to do more of it.
That's great. That's great. Yes. You need more time, right?
Oh, absolutely.
More time, more partners?
Always.
Now, you know, FedEx is a multinational company. You have a lot of resources. If you were to run a small business with limited resources, what are some of the things that you would do
without breaking your bank? Yeah. Well, what I
would
encourage a small business to do is to tap into the expertise and help of the big businesses. So, for instance, at FedEx, if you go to smallbusiness.fedex.com, you will find a wealth of resources that small businesses can use and tap into to expand and grow their business. So we say at FedEx that we connect people and possibilities. And so if you're a shoemaker in Guatemala, you know, as a small business, well, how about selling those shoes in Paris or selling those shoes in Botswana? Or, you know, how do you increase your sales globally? Well, you can come to FedEx. You can go to smallbusiness.fedex.com, and you can learn from us. We work with, you know, thousands of companies around the world to help them grow their businesses internationally. And so I would say tap into large businesses that can really help you and want to help you because, you know, we want your business as a small business, and we can help you grow your business that way. And then other organizations like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce or similar non-U.S. type organizations, local pro-business organizations can really help the small business. So I would say tap into those resources around you and the mentors that run those larger companies and chambers and organizations like that to really help you grow.
Okay, that's good to know. That's one resources that good to know for small business.
Yes.
Anything that big business can help with the small businesses, it's always appreciated.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, any advice for people who are just getting started in the field of sustainability or wannabes?
Yes, absolutely. There are some wonderful organizations that I would encourage people who are interested in CSR or sustainability to join and to take full advantage of their training and their conferences, etc. One of them is the Boston College Center for Corporate Citizenship. And actually, they have their annual conference coming up in Austin in April. There'll be about 600 corporate CSR people there from about 600 large companies, and it's a great time to learn from one another, to benchmark with each other. It's just a fantastic organization. They have great trainings year-round as well, and their website, too, is very robust and helpful. Another organization is the Association of Corporate Contributions Professionals, ACCP, and these are all very easy to find on the Internet. That's a consortium of corporate contributions professionals that really help each other understand the landscape and understand the opportunities and different ways to apply corporate resources to this particular area. And then there's other organizations like the U.S. Chamber Foundation and the Committee Encouraging Corporate Philanthropy. So those are, I would say, the top four in my mind of fantastic resources where wannabes can go to get this type of information. Also, I just recently ran across a great website called Be Meaningful.
Be Meaningful.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and it's just there for people who want to get started and people who are learning about this area. So they've got some great resources. They post jobs in the area, etc. But BeMeaningful.com. It's a great resource.
Wow, that's a lot of resources, you know, to
yes,
to start
it is.
With. Yeah. And it is, you know, I think it's good to learn from professionals because you guys have the experience working in the field. So for wannabes. Now, I just want to have one more question. Now, I read in your personal blog that you are the president of Creative Inspiration. What do you do? In what way that this gig actually help you with work?
Okay, I'm going to tell you that, but I just wanted to, on that Be Meaningful, it's the letter B and then the
like
word
B?
Meaningful.
Oh,
yeah, the letter
the
B
e.
is in boy, exactly, without the
okay.
E. So it's B meaningful.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, creative inspiration. When I was in graduate school, I studied I took a course called Creativity and Teaching, and that course exposed me to this whole area of creative thinking and creative problem solving that's just very fascinating. There's the Journal of Creative Behavior, there's the Creative Education Foundation, the American Creativity Association, and it just goes on and on and on in terms of the kinds of resources that are out there to help people move from a linear way of thinking to a lateral way of thinking. And thinking laterally just means you open up to more possibilities than what is right in front of you. So I learned all of these tools and techniques to help in your thinking, to help open up your mind to new possibilities, and was just so fascinated with it, I started a little side business where I consult with companies to help them do creative problem solving, and it's just, I love the way the mind works. It just never ceases to amaze me. So it's really, it's been a wonderful pursuit.
That's great. That's great. It's been a pleasure hosting you. I learned so much just by talking to you, and I'm sure like people will learn, you know, about things that you explain about what FedEx does, and then also if they're interested in going into the field sustainably, what some of the avenues they can go with and start with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, this is awesome. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation
I'm so glad, Dawida. Great to talk with you.
Yeah, and I just want to thank you for sharing your views on EcoTwist.
I'm happy to.
Yeah, and so we'll touch base again, and I'd like to do more on, you know, because you have a very interesting background.
Wonderful. That'll be great. I look forward to it, Dawida.
Thank you, Shane, and you have a great day and enjoy life.
All right, you too. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye then. So we just concluded our conversation with Shane O'Connor, and this conversation is recorded live, and I will also post this recording on my blog is dawida.wordpress.com. Thank you so much for listening.